the 22nd pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select Andre Dillard. With the 2nd pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select Carson Wentz.
Good evening and welcome in. Jamie Lynch in with Andrew Salchunas. It's the Eagles postgame show on draft night. Really excited to be here. I look forward to the NFL draft night very, very highly on my sports pecking order. When it comes to drafts, the NFL and NBA draft are absolutely thrilling evenings for me. Because I love college sports. I love college basketball and I love college football. They're amongst some of my favorite sports out there. So when this kind of comes to the culmination of the NFL draft and helping out the Philadelphia Eagles that we all know and love, it's a great evening. And welcome in, Andrew. Excited to be here with you tonight. Talking some NFL draft. We'll be taking you live through it. All the ongoings, the trades, the reviews. We'll talk about the division. We'll talk about some prospects, some local kids, all of it. We'll run the full NFL draft gamut. Pumped to be here.
Yeah, what's going on, Jamie? This is awesome because it's the first time you and I are getting together in a while.
It has been a bit, yeah.
We haven't done Saturdays together for a while, and the post-game show, that seemed like it's been years since the post-game show because of everything that's going on in this world. So not only am I excited for the draft like you because the NFL draft is huge, but I'm excited for the NFL draft because we finally have something to look forward to.
Yeah, I mean,
like this weekend's going to be awesome.
This is the first live sporting event we've had in over a month.
Yeah, except for that stupid horse tournament, but we won't talk about that.
That didn't count.
Yeah. No, but this is awesome, and the greatest thing is there's so much that the Eagles need. There's so many areas that they could go. They could trade up. They could trade back. They could trade out of the first round completely. They could go receiver. They could go corner. They could go defensive lineman or offensive lineman. They have so many areas where they can go. Even though they are a playoff team and they are a team that I don't think is very far away, they still have a lot of areas where they need to either add depth or add starters, and like number one starters, like at wide receiver.
Yeah, Dan Orlovsky was on the station this week in the mornings, and you know he said, look, the Eagles are a wide receiver away from being a great team or a good team, and it really is that important. Now, we'll get into what'll make you happy, won't make you happy this evening. I think I speak for probably 98% of Eagles fans in that everybody wants a wide receiver in the first round. Everybody ideally wants one of the big three, but realistically, that's not going to be easy at 21. There's a chance if they're there around 16, 17, the Eagles start to, you know, think about moving up. I had a wild scenario run through my head about 2 hours ago doing some show prep, which we'll get into, which would involve getting the number 11 pick from the New York Jets. Some people might not like it, but it excites the hell out of me. We'll get to all that.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot to get to.
But it is a particularly exciting draft night because of what you just said. They could. I wouldn't be shocked at all if they moved up. I wouldn't be shocked if they moved back. I wouldn't be shocked if they picked a 21. I wouldn't be shocked if they went defense. I don't think wide receiver is necessarily a lock. I think it's, you know, probably a 60 or 70% chance that they do.
Yes.
But I think for that to be predetermined is foolish. You're going to let the board fall as it may and judge from there. Because I think if, you know, let's say the big four receivers, and we'll put Jefferson in, the kid from LSU,
100%
as the fourth.
Jefferson in there, yep.
If the big four are gone, I fully expect them to take Patrick Queen, the linebacker from LSU.
Yeah, I feel like it's starting to, I mean, the more and more talk you hear, right? Like, I as soon as I got home at 2 o'clock or 2:30 after the midday show, I mean, I just put on the NFL Network. And more, it's like, oh, now I'm starting to hear that this player might drop. And now I'm starting to hear that the Eagles might go defense because these guys are going to go. I had a theory earlier today that I really do believe that the New York Jets are a team that go wide receiver at pick 11, and if they go wide receiver pick 11, then you all of a sudden get that snowball effect where the next guy goes, the next guy goes. 21 is a long ways from 11. Yes,
yeah.
They could trade up to the 49ers, right? They've been open about giving up that 13th pick, but what's the draft capital that you have to give up? Does Howie Roseman care about draft capital? Because as I mentioned, there's a lot of areas where you need to improve in this draft. Now you have the
luxury. I could see Henderson from Florida, the cornerback. If he ends up slipping to 21, I wouldn't be surprised if they took him.
Yeah, because right now you have one corner.
Yeah.
You have one starting corner.
I like Avante Maddox.
I do too, but you don't know exactly what you're going to get out of him. You could put him in the slot, right? You could put Sidney Jones, people are still talking about, in the slot, even though I don't buy that anymore. You have Cravon LeBlanc.
You got Nicole Roby Coleman.
Yeah, you know, they bring in all these guys, but who knows? I mean,
so yeah, you're right. It could go any way, which makes it a really exciting evening. Yep. I can't wait for this to get underway. We will talk to Tim McManus this tonight at 7:45, right after the draft starts, to get the latest rumors and ongoings from around the league, and you know, in relation to the Philadelphia Eagles. This this Jets thing I cooked up in my brain, I think it makes sense for both sides in a big way, and we will get to that. What would make you unhappy with tonight? What's the one thing right now you could say would make you unhappy?
Well, I just said it in the green room before we started. Even though
I wasn't really listening to
you. Yeah, I know. I don't like talking to you anyway. even though some of these guys have a ton of talent, like the linebackers that are going to be available, like the corners that could be available, I think I would legitimately be upset if they do go defense at pick 21. Or like if they come away with not a stud wide receiver, because I've been on the move up train for a long time now to get one of these wide receivers.
So if it was Brandon Ayuk or Jalen Reagor, you would not be pumped?
Yeah, I would go,
you'd be lukewarm.
Okay, that's who was available.
Because Brandon Ayuk's name has come up twice now in the last 2 days. Adam Kaplan this morning with the morning show mentioned him as somebody that's a real possibility there for the Eagles that's been in the discussions. And yesterday, the day before, Ron Jaworski was on, and he also mentioned Brandon Ayuk and said he's even had conversations with Herm Edwards, his friend out there at Arizona State, who's the head coach, and, you know, really liked what he heard from Herm.
Yeah, Herm is doing a great job with talking up.
He's a motivational speaker. Of course he's going to be great at that.
But, you know,
so those picks would make you, cool.
Yeah, because
but
I want
not
one
great.
Of these top four guys, and I include Justin Jefferson. And, you know, I like, there's Henry Ruggs. Who knows? You see all these mock drafts, and I don't really read mock drafts. I will be completely honest with you.
Oh, I do for you.
I know you do.
I got you covered.
Because one day, Henry Ruggs is falling to 21. Another day, he's going to be the first receiver off the board. Another day, you know, I mean,
let me just tell you this. I don't think any of the big three will be there at 21. I don't think there's any chance in hell.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so either.
Of Lamb, Judy,
Ruggs. I saw the reports, heard the reports about Jerry Jeudy. I don't think he falls.
He didn't miss a game or a practice. Why would that prevent you from taking the most dynamic wide receiver in the draft?
He got the surgery before the 2018 season. So he played both years. He never missed a practice, according to his agent. Now, again, that's his agent. But
I think Nick Saban may have backed it up as well.
Yeah, so I don't think that Judy's a guy that falls. And again,
every year, death, taxes, and an Alabama prospect getting a shady medical report is what happens. So,
but, you know, it's going to be fascinating. I mean, one of these defensive players is going to turn out to be a stud, and I'm going to be like,
I think Patrick Queen's going to be an absolute animal.
Yeah, and you know what? I was wrong, but I need them to score points.
Yeah, absolutely.
And right now, I know linebacker is a position of need. Linebacker is one of those positions where they need to pay attention to in this draft.
You got the Whitesnake starting for you right now.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't need them to go linebacker first round. And I know
that guy's
available, best player available. I know it.
Let me spin zone it for you. If they take the first linebacker in the first round in 41 years, shouldn't that be a sign of assurance that they think they got an absolute animal at linebacker? If they are going to go so far against their franchise's belief, and Jim Schwartz's defense doesn't even put that much value in linebackers for the most part.
Yeah, which is why I wouldn't go linebacker round one.
So all of that, if they went Patrick Queen at 21, wouldn't that tell you that they believe that Patrick Queen is a dynamic NFL caliber player?
Sure.
Does that give you any confidence?
Sure, by your logic.
Right?
I get what you're saying, but I just don't want it.
It would be so shocking that in my mind, the way I think about it is, all right, well, if they do go linebacker, that means they had Patrick Queen as one of their top three, four guys on their board. Because, you know, every team has their tiers and their board.
Of course.
And your projected four or five guys that are going to be there that you target. If the Eagles move back tonight, I think Adam Schefter said it with us this morning, that means their board they've missed their top tier targets.
Yeah.
And they're already on the tier two where they feel they can get a just as good of a player five picks later. So if they trade back, I think their top targets are gone. If Patrick Queen is there and they take him, that tells you he was one of their top three or four guys.
Yeah, I mean, I don't say I would hate it, right? Like, you say, what would make you angry?
It wouldn't be exciting.
Yeah,
I understand.
It wouldn't be. But, you know, he's got comps to Thomas Davis Sr., who was a hell of a linebacker.
Dude, he runs a 4.54.
Yeah, I mean,
he's a sideline to sideline machine, and he's not too bad in coverage.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that makes sense. And LSU, of course, was not only were they fantastic offense, they're a team that has a good front and good linebackers. And, you know, they play in a conference where there is a lot of passing and stuff like that. I mean, I wouldn't despise it. I'm not going to say, oh my God, you know, bring the torches to NovaCare or wherever the hell Howie Roseman's drafting from. Maybe it's his house. But I mean, I'm
just, oh, it's his house. You didn't see his living room?
No, I did not.
Oh, it's a lovely setup.
I saw
a fireplace. Right,
I saw
to
the commissioner's.
I heard it's a little frumpy, dumpy.
Yeah, it needs some
renovating.
Yeah.
Well, he said it's his man cave.
He's the commissioner. He's making billions of dollars.
He makes like $44 million
a
year.
He could.
Come on, Raj. I know he lives in like the same town he lived in when he was in like his 20s. It's still like, I think it's Bronxville, New York, or something.
Yes.
So so it's still like his. He hasn't upgraded, I guess. So maybe the basement is. But yeah, it's going to be really exciting. I think there's going to be some really good players entering the NFC East and the Eagles division. And unfortunately, one of them is by the name of Chase Young, who's likely to go number two overall, who, you know, there's a guy, Matt Miller, who does draft grades every year and has for a long time. He's only given out 699 ratings ever. And unfortunately, Chase Young is one of those.
Yeah, he's also one of the draft people that said, I talked to 15 executives. Judy's not falling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So,
he's not.
Matt Miller does a good job.
He does. But Chase Young is a generational type talent that's going to enter your division, most likely. And you better have a left tackle that can probably match up against them.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because apparently Derek Gunn just now on NBC Sports Philadelphia said that Dillard has been dangled.
Dude, I'm telling you, the trade I concocted in my brain two hours ago is reality. And I'm not one to tease. Let's just get into it. This is what I cooked up in my brain. Now, Manish Mehta, who covers the New York Jets for the New York Daily News, is very tied into the Jets.
Yes.
Very tied in.
Oh, yeah.
Very respected. A trustworthy source. He tweets out a picture earlier today that says, Jets fans, just saying he's really good, with a picture of Andre Dillard. I thought Andre Dillard performed. I thought it was unfair when they put him at right tackle. I thought the four games he showed you at left tackle were incredibly promising. Let's not forget, this is a guy that shut down Khalil Mack when we all thought he was going to have his lunch eaten.
Mm-hmm.
He is a very promising player.
Yes.
Joe Douglas is a former offensive lineman that was here last year. Now, under my theory, Joe Douglas was largely responsible for Andre Dillard being here. We can't exactly pin Howie Roseman or Joe Douglas to Andre Dillard, but I would have a feeling that Joe Douglas feels very strongly about Andre Dillard.
Yeah, especially if reports are coming out this way and Joe Douglas is now at the Jets. Yeah, it makes sense.
Joe Douglas, first stint in the front office at the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to get a bounty. Maybe, you know, CeeDee Lamb is a bounty to him. Here's what I concocted. You trade Andre Dillard, working under the assumption that he wanted Andre Dillard. He views Andre Dillard essentially as a fresh first-round pick because Andre Dillard doesn't have any NFL miles on his body yet.
Right.
He went through that, so he's basically a first-round pick. You trade 21 and Andre Dillard to the Jets. You take
11.
CeeDee Lamb or Jerry Jeudy, whichever one is there. You re-sign Jason Peters for a year. You recoup a third-round pick back from the Jets, so it balances it out on the trade value chart. And I enter the season next year with Jason Peters as my starting left tackle and CeeDee Lamb or Jerry Jeudy on the outside, and let's go win some games.
Yeah, and you know what? It makes sense for both sides. Because
it makes a ton of sense for the Jets because then they can take Justin Jefferson or whoever they consider another good wide receiver, and then you get Andre Dillard and let's say Justin Jefferson.
Because the New York Jets are a team that need a lineman. They need a left tackle. And there's all these reports about how the top 10 is where you're going to see this run on tackles. And I put together my list. We'll get through it. Just the top 10. And I have like four teams that are probably going to go tackle in the top 10. And the Jets are just shy. They're at pick number 11. And Sam Darnold needs protection, but Sam Darnold also needs a weapon. And that's why one theory I have.
You get two first-round picks for giving up, for moving back 10 spots in the draft. That's a no-brainer if I'm Joe Douglas.
That's why my one theory is, okay, you have Sam Darnold, who you waited a lot with because, you know, unfortunately he had the mono, and you're still trying to build around that. You lost.
Yeah, they weren't even close to him winning now.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You lost Robbie Anderson. He leaves. They weren't really high.
No, they
on
want
Robbie
a wide
Anderson.
Receiver, no doubt.
So that's why I go, all right, one theory is they just go with the top receiver in the draft or the top one on the board, whether it's Jeudy or CeeDee Lamb. Or your theory, I saw your tweet before the show. It makes total sense.
Let's say Joe Douglas
could also go tackle.
Yeah, let's say Joe Douglas is evaluating this year's offensive tackles. You know, you got Willis from Alabama, you got Wirfs from Iowa. Those are, you know, the two projected top guys. maybe Andre Dillard has a better grade than either of those for Joe Douglas. He's for sure reviewing, you know, his notes and grades from last year, or they're fresh in his mind. If he views Andre Dillard as a better prospect than either of those two, or on par with, let's say, a Wirfs, and he likes Justin Jefferson a whole lot, or he likes Jalen Reagor a whole lot, that's a no-brainer for Joe Douglas.
It makes sense. No,
would you be okay with Jason Peters returning for another year of service if CeeDee Lamb or Jerry Jeudy's on the outside for the Philadelphia Eagles?
It's a good question. I am very high on Andre Dillard, but again,
I like Dillard a lot too. I'm not, for the record, I'm right. I like Jerry Jeudy more.
I'm not in the locker room, so you know, I heard the report. I saw the report.
They're clearly concerned about him.
They're because of the crying at practice. He got in fights in like three straight days during training camp.
Apparently, he had never been to a metropolitan city really before. Well, didn't transition to the locker room well.
Yeah, we had Jeff McClain on with Anthony a few. I think it was on Tuesday, and he said, yeah, he came from a small city, small football town, then all of a sudden, boom, he's playing for Philadelphia, and it's totally different. And he unfairly got moved to right tackle and still got heavily criticized. Like there were
that wasn't fair. Exactly. I threw that game out the window.
But there were a lot of people, you know, there's blockheads that go, oh my God, what are you doing? You're a first round pick.
I remember him tweeting the one guy saying he didn't know what he was talking about and stuff like that.
And people, and I'm sure he didn't like that. And now New York is still
New York
major, right?
Yeah, I mean, New York's still going
to. Now he's going to the Jets instead of the Giants, so there's not as much pressure, I guess, on the New York Jets than there is the New York football Giants. But he's still going to be in a prime market in New York.
So do you do that deal? Because I think that is, because look, a lot of trade things get thrown around and a lot of them are dumb because you never look at it from the other side's point of view.
Right.
I'm looking at this primarily through Joe Douglas's point of view. And I think it's a no-brainer for him. You know, he likes Andre Dillard.
Yes.
If you have concerns about him, cut bait now. Yeah. I trust that they would know better than anybody in the media about the concerns, you know, they may or may not have with Andre Dillard.
If that's
true,
doors,
yeah,
right.
Do it now.
I mean, it's
a little bit of a hit overall, but guess what? If you get a third round pick back, you draft another tackle in the second or third round, you can develop under Peters for a year, and you get that stud on the outside. Obviously, left tackle is a way more important position in the NFL than wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Obviously. But you have Jason Peters still out there just waiting. Jason Kelce has talked about how crucial it's going to be to lose a guy like that in the locker room. He said he can't imagine playing football without Jason Peters on his left.
My only problem is, so you get rid of Diller when he's still got 3 years left on his rookie deal.
Yeah.
And you're back to Peters. And you already
you'll get 5 years of Lamb.
Right. You have. I know. I'm just looking at it both ways. But now your offensive line is Jason Peters on a one-year deal. Who knows if he comes back? I don't know, right? Like, Jason Peters.
He'll come back.
Jason Kelce could retire.
Lane Johnson said his heart still is in Philadelphia.
Peters?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I know. But
yeah, he'll come back.
What if you only get him for one more year?
That's all I want him for.
And you only get Jason Kelce for one more year.
Yeah.
You now, not only if you make that trade, you have to draft linemen in this draft.
Oh, yeah. I'm taking your boy Matt Hennessy from Temple. I'm taking an offensive
center.
I'm taking a tackle in the second round, and I'm having him work under Jason Peters. And at the year's end, I have Jordan Mailata and the kid that we draft behind Jason Peters, and I say, who's got it? Does Mailata have it?
Yeah.
You're making the call for me.
You still got Matt Pryor, too.
Yeah, they like Matt Pryor as a swing tackle.
Yeah. I mean,
so you're in. Are you in or out? The deal's off the table in 30 seconds.
How much? Oh, there's still 30 seconds left on the clock. Listen, I'm getting a stud in Jerry Jeudy or CeeDee
Lamb.
That
you can grow for 5 years with Carson Wentz.
That's what I've been wanting from the beginning of this, of all the draft talk, is one of those two guys. And I think higher of Jerry Jeudy and CeeDee Lamb than a guy like Henry Ruggs and Justin Jefferson. So if I can get one of those two, like I think I'm on board. I just am concerned. You get Jason Peters back. And what if he goes down again in weeks 3 or 4 and you draft a tackle who's just not pro-ready? Andre Dillard, to me, was pro-ready last year.
That is the big risk.
Yes, big
that
time.
That is a huge risk and with this deal.
And you know what's going to happen.
I mean, he's probably going to, at best, Jason Peters would probably play 75% of the snaps. So you're going to have somebody that's going to need to step in there. Let's see. Do you believe in Matt Pryor?
No.
Do you believe in somebody you would take in the second round enough to step in there? But that's a real possibility to me. Yeah. I think Andre Dillard, because Joe Douglas is the guy. If you wanted to, quote unquote, take advantage of that relationship, There's nobody better to give him than a guy he may have pushed for just a year ago.
It makes total sense.
Without giving up future picks,
you're
not killing yourself.
And you keep on mentioning you get somebody in the second round. You're not giving up that second round pick.
And you recoup a third, so you'd have two thirds.
One thing that people, I texted you this, one thing that a lot of people are making mistakes of is like, all right, so I'm going to trade up for CeeDee Lamb and then I'm going to draft so-and-so in the second round. It's like, well, you probably have to give up a second round pick to move up, right? Like
Andre Dillard prevents that.
Yes.
Then you can go linebacker, you can go offensive tackle, you could go cornerback, you could go wide receiver again, still in the second round.
Yeah, and it makes sense because I keep on saying the Jets go wide receiver at 11, in my opinion. I think they go receiver at 11. So you then jump everybody. Because if the Jets go receiver at 11, Oakland, I think, goes receiver at 12. You have San Francisco at 13, who's waving that pick around. They could even draft a receiver.
Oh, they're trading out.
Now, I know that there's all these rumors about Marquise Goodwin, too, who's apparently available.
Yeah, he's up for grabs. I would take a flyer on him if the price was right.
Do I do that deal? I guess, because I want Judy.
Yeah.
I want Jerry Judy, so sure, I'll do that deal. Again, this is all speculation, but I would do something like that.
I'm reading between the lines when I put this together in my head. There's the Manish Mehta tweet. There's all the Andre Dillard stuff that's come out throughout the course of the year.
Yeah, and for like the past couple of weeks, they've been heating up again.
Yeah, there's the Joe Douglas, Andre Dillard connection. Does he value him more than tackles in this draft? He can basically get two first-round picks this year, which is a hell of a way to start a first year in the front office. If he believes, basically what it comes down to is, does he believe enough in 21 there will be a wide receiver there that can be a game changer for Sam Darnold? And I think enough people think that this is wide receiver rich enough that, yeah, you can get a guy you're comfortable with there. So I think it makes sense for the Jets, and I think it makes sense for the Eagles. We'll see if it happens, but that's what my brain came up with.
It does make sense, because the biggest desperation need is at wide receiver for the Eagles. Like if you were to, instead of doing, you know, your big board, if your board was where's the biggest need for this team, wide receiver is number one on everybody's list.
Could you imagine a Jerry Jeudy or CeeDee Lamb with Carson Wentz for 5 years?
That'd be incredible. Especially look at what he did with the garbage around him those last 4 weeks.
Do you know how much easier DeSean Jackson's life will be? Was Zach Ertz's life will be?
Big time.
If I mean, you talk about separation. Jerry Judy's routes will juke half this division out of their socks.
Yeah, and CeeDee Lamb, he's a guy that needs to work on his route tree a little bit, but I mean,
but when he gets the ball in his hands, his vision is
like there's conversations about CeeDee Lamb might actually be in the end the better player than Judy because of he's got pure raw talent right now, and once he gets coaching under him and a couple years in the league, maybe he ends up being the better player than Judy in the draft. But again, the Eagles are a playoff team. And as many areas that they need to improve on, where they need depth or where they even need starters, if you can get Judy, I've been saying this for a couple weeks now, if you get one of these top receivers, and let's say it's Jerry Judy, the Eagles to me are the 2007 Phillies, where they're 1 year away, right? Like, I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender.
I think they can contend if you're telling me, look, and here's the crazy backup plan to Jason Peters.
Yep.
Trade your second round pick for Trent Williams.
I mean, I guess that makes sense, but I'm seeing that's not happening.
That report doesn't come out of thin air this morning. It doesn't come out of thin air. I know it's shocking. It doesn't make sense. It only makes sense if you're considering moving Andre Dillard. It all comes together, Andrew.
No, it makes sense to put that in the deal to try to up the offer for other teams.
You don't consider Trent Williams unless you're planning on moving on from Andre Dillard.
Yeah, but there were like other reporters that literally as soon as that came out.
Well, yeah, of course. They called the Eagles and they called their sources at the Eagles and they're like, what are you, nuts? Because they haven't made an Andre Dillard trade yet.
Mike Garofalo said.
This isn't just falling out of the sky.
Mike Garofalo said it, and I quote,
I'd be so more shocked if I woke up with my head sewn to the carpet.
Less shocked if his head was sewn to the carpet.
But look, that doesn't come out of nowhere. Like somebody all of a sudden at the Washington Post isn't going, oh, well, the Eagles are one of the teams that... Howie's always going to call about everybody to see what their valuation is around the league.
But at the same time, you say it doesn't you say it doesn't come out of nowhere. I feel like there's a lot of stuff right around now that does come out of nowhere.
I don't think four specific teams in that situation come out of nowhere.
You need to get Howie, a team to up the offer, man.
I think Howie's in the lab cooking right now.
All right. I don't think they say 21, to be honest. I think they
don't. I don't either.
Adam
Schefter said if he had to guess this morning, he thinks Howie Roseman moves up to that 16-17 range and gets a guy that has slipped. But got you thinking,
yeah,
dog.
Yeah, you got me thinking. I don't think the Trent Williams.
The risk of the move, then the only risk to me is what happens if Jason Peters goes down? You have to like a tackle in the second round enough that you think can step in and play in emergency situations. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, and that's the scary
Are you willing
thing.
To take that risk?
That's the scary thing.
I am. I'm a bit of a gambler. We'll get Tyler Zuli's opinion on my concoction. We'll talk some draft with him coming up. It's going to be a hell of an evening. Can't wait to be here with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 7:45, we'll talk with Tim McManus from ESPN.com. Does a great job covering the team. We'll see Roger Goodell's basement, I guess, coming up around 7:30. And we'll get underway. I can't wait. The floor is yours. If you guys want to chime in, talk some draft. Would you do that trade? Would you be disappointed if they ended up with Patrick Queen at number 21? It's all on the table. 610-632-0975 are the numbers. If you want to join Andrew and myself, you're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic. Fanatic Sports Time is 626.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic. Now, back to our coverage of the 2020 NFL Draft, live from the Fanatic War Room on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back. Jamie Lynch, Andrew Salchunas in with you until 9 o'clock tonight. And then we got you covered even till midnight with Devon and Joe Torti. Now, Joe Torti had the nugget last week that CeeDee Lamb is the apple of Howie's eye. And, you know, when somebody's the apple of your eye, Andrew, you don't not pursue them.
Yeah, that's, you know, that was, I heard that from a couple places
too. I've heard some whispers.
Yeah.
But you know how I know that to be true? Because Howie Roseman has eyeballs.
Yes.
And if you watch CeeDee Lamb play football, he jumps off the screen at you. I used to bet a lot of Oklahoma overs because it's a great time.
Yes.
And CeeDee Lamb is like the greatest thing in the world for betting overs because he can take, I think he averaged 21 and a half yards a catch last year. I think it was 19 touchdowns or 14 touchdowns. I'm going off the top of my head here. But the guy's a touchdown playmaking machine.
Yeah, he's a guy that not only has speed, which the Eagles need on the outside, he's a guy that can also break tackles. Like he's a physical
guy. He's one of those guys, which, to be honest with you, I can't even compare him to anybody. You know, like Harold Carmichael and Mike Quick were downfield guys.
So one of my sorry for interrupting you.
No, but you know where I'm going with this.
Yes.
Besides T.O., I can't recall an Eagles receiver that could, Deshaun a little bit on some reverses and trickery, but that could catch the ball on like a quick slant, make three or four guys miss and take one to the house. Like, that's just not something the Eagles typically ever have.
Right, right. No, you're
and
right.
CeeDee Lamb is that.
Well, wide receiver, the historic poorness of
it's Howie Roseman's Achilles heel.
Yeah, it's awful.
And it real quick, I'll let you get to your point. Howie Roseman, he knows that. He knows what people say about him.
Mm-hmm. That's why
you want to correct
that's why
that.
They move up.
That's and why. If you want to correct that, you go get the surefire guy. This morning I thought they were gonna stay at 21. Now I'm fully convinced they're going up.
I thought at 1:45 today, I thought that they were staying at 21, and I thought they're in a draft defense. The closer I get, I'm like, all right, you know what?
If they stay put, I think they take Patrick Queen.
This is all smoke.
If they can't work something out.
But in terms of comparisons, I love looking at the comps, where they compare them to. How about this for CeeDee Lamb? Chad Johnson.
I'll take Ocho Cinco.
I would take Ocho Cinco for you know at least 5 years, probably 10.
Yeah, I mean, reports are that Kyler Murray is pushing the Cardinals pretty hard to take his former teammate that helped him win the Heisman. No doubt. But if I'm Steve Keim out there, I'm going, Yeah, Kyler, I just got you DeAndre Hopkins. Let's pipe down here, all right?
Yeah.
I got a team to complete.
Yeah, I mean, I think they go.
I just think it would be
fine.
Yeah, exactly.
More defense.
No, you got to protect your investment.
Arizona's another team that Isaiah Simmons could go to, depending on how far
he falls. Isaiah Simmons fear.
What's your fear?
That he goes to the New York Giants. Because I think Isaiah Simmons is
potentially a top line.
I know. I think they're going to go worse from Iowa, but I think Isaiah Simmons is a top 3 or 4 player in this first round.
The New York Giants currently have Nate Solder, who ever since he got paid has been awful.
Yeah.
They have Nick Gates right now on their depth chart as their starting right tackle, who is a guard transitioning to tackle. I think they'd rather have a starting tackle, a guy that they could trust, over a guy who has basically failed to their expectations to the contract and a guy who's going to be playing basically almost out of position trying to transition. I think they go offensive tackle.
I do too. And if I'm Steve Keim in Arizona, I say, hey, Kyler, you're my franchise. You're my investment. I'm getting you an offensive lineman. All right. Pipe down, dude.
All right. And Tyler Zuli puts on the board that if they go right tackle, they go Wills.
Yeah.
And again, they probably try to go Solder because they paid him at left tackle, and then they go Wills at right tackle.
Yeah. I think teams that draft a quarterback with high capital, i.e. Daniel Jones and Kyler Murray, that don't then reinvest in the offensive line and get youth studs around them are negligent people that are probably not going to win in this league. Like, I think it's that important. Once you get the quarterback, you better protect his ass.
Oh, yeah.
And the New York Giants and Arizona Cardinals should be worried about protecting those guys.
Well, especially if you're the New York Giants, when not only did you draft a quarterback last year, but you also have Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
You want to help the guys out a little bit there.
Yeah, so my fear is that Isaiah Simmons goes to the Giants and Chase Young. Like, two of the two best players in this draft could be in division.
Right.
But I do think the Giants stick with worse
Back to the Eagles, I know... obviously, we're all upset that the Eagles didn't get DeAndre Hopkins, and I wish they did.
I wasn't as upset as most people.
I was pretty bummed out, I'll be honest. But I don't know.
I wanted Yannick Ngakoue more than I wanted DeAndre Hopkins.
I would go Hopkins over Ngakoue.
You would.
Anyway, well, I want offense. But Hopkins, the contract, I don't know how that would have worked because you have the Alshon Jeffrey contract.
Well, we haven't seen what he's going to get.
Exactly. Yeah, it could be a lot of money.
So there is a little bit of a wait and see.
But in the end, it was a good thing for the Eagles that if he went to any team, it was Arizona. Because Arizona, to me, was a team that would have went receiver early. If they didn't have DeAndre Hopkins, I thought that they were a team that was
100%.
Unlocked to get 100%. One of the top receivers, whether it was at 8 or
it was probably
going to
be Lamb. They probably would have listened to Kyler Murray at that point and went and got him.
But now
that
they have Hopkins, it goes, okay, so after the Cardinals, the Jaguars, I don't think, are going receiver. The Browns aren't going receiver. So that's two spots right there.
You don't need DeAndre Hopkins and CeeDee Lamb on the same team to win a Super Bowl.
Now that would be...
It would be silly. But you don't need that.
But
like, Tampa Bay doesn't need Mike Evans and Chris Godwin.
Right.
That's a plethora of riches.
Which is why he is probably available.
Yeah. So, I want to get Tyler Zuli's opinion on, one, the trade proposal I threw by Andrew, and two, what would make you disappointed in tonight's draft? You're a guy that might watch more college football than me, and that's somehow surprising because I pretty much dedicate every Saturday to watching college football. Your thoughts on my proposed trade with the New York Jets to move up to 11 to get either Judy or Lamb. I don't care who it is. I like Judy slightly more. CeeDee Lamb excites me equally as much. And two, what would make you upset or, you know, not pumped with tonight's first round play?
Yeah, I too like Judy more so than Lamb, but it's a flip of the coin for me. It's not like a huge downgrade either way. I'm concerned about that trade simply because of the, as Andrew kind of pointed out, the consistency of
Jason
Peters.
There's a huge risk. There's a big risk with that, no doubt.
And I know that I've always said that I'm a big believer in, if you can go all in for one season, you do it. And if that's the ultimate go all in, then I think you give it a shot.
The question you have to ask yourself is, if Jason Peters and CeeDee Lamb or Jerry Jeudy are starting on the team next year, are the Eagles Super Bowl contenders? Are they one of the 7 or 8 teams in the entire league that has a chance to hold that Lombardi?
They're much closer. The answer is closer to yes than no.
And I think they are, because I think those two receivers are step right in and they're, you know, right below Pro Bowl caliber talent right off the bat. I really believe in them that much. I think that moves makes you a real contender for a title.
I would agree. And I don't know what it looks like after next season, but next season is all that matters if you're going for a second in 4 years.
All right, gun to the head. You taking that trade or not?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, man.
We're both hesitant, though. Like, yes,
because of the risk. And I acknowledge the risk. I'm not denying that there is no risk. There's a risk, but there's also an incredibly high risk reward, and that reward is making you a contender.
Right. Now, I do want to mention, because there's going to be a ton of news all night, so make sure you keep it locked right
Absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely. We're hoping to hear from Adam Schefter as well at some point.
Yeah, and there's a Tim ton McMahon of rumors, so make sure you stick right here on the Fanatic until, you know, we're until 9. You got Joe and Devon 9 until 12. Who knows when the Eagles will be picking. It might happen when we're done, but
let's hope it happens during us, because that means they moved up to get one of these studs. If it does not, Joe and Devon got you covered.
Right, but speaking of news, so Michael Silver, he's with the NFL Network.
Yeah,
right?
He
tweeted
he's very
out,
tied in.
The Ravens, according to multiple sources, were one of the teams that made a run at DeAndre Hopkins before the Texans traded him to Arizona. If they draft a receiver tonight, it won't be a huge surprise. Ian Rappaport then just quote tweets that and say, and they could trade up to do it. Now,
because they're at 28 right now.
So I have my 1 through 32 of the NFL draft, and I have like what I believe the team's needs are.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually put wide receiver as the first thing for the Ravens. But they already have Hollywood Brown, who they drafted in the first round or early second round last year. They also have Willie Snead, so they have two speed receivers. So if they were to trade up, I think they would get one of the bigger receivers that are out there. Right there, you know.
Yeah, I don't think you're trading up for
Rieger. They're not going, Judy. I don't
or
think
Mims. Or, right. Yeah. They're going for one of the big guys.
Yeah, exactly. So they're at 28 right now. So I don't fear them jumping. Even if they do jump the Eagles, I don't think they take one of those guys that the Eagles are coveted. But does a Justin Jefferson make sense for Baltimore? Does a Justin Jefferson make sense for Baltimore?
Sure. I mean, I think he's better than what they have. So why not? Yeah, like with teams with such low wide receiver bars, I think Justin Jefferson is very appealing.
What I'm saying is they already have it set at, they have Snead and they have Marquise Brown. They have two fast receivers. Those are speed guys.
So yeah, Jefferson makes sense.
All of a sudden Jefferson goes to the slot for you, or he plays outside sort of like that Alshon Jeffrey role, was a little bit bigger.
Adam Kaplan said this morning, which I thought was a very interesting quote about Justin Jefferson. He talked to a lot of wide receiver coaches around the league who like him a lot, and said this: if he's a slot receiver primarily, he's a first-round talent. If he's an outside receiver primarily, he's a second-round talent. And I think that's pretty telling, because somebody like Baltimore with a Marquise Brown could view that as, you know, the type of move that they should make.
I mean, that makes total sense. Brown is 5'9", Willie Snead's 5'11", and then Justin Jefferson you get at 6'1".
And
so now you have three, and you go that with, you already have Lamar Jackson. Their offensive line is pretty good.
Here's the other chip they've been dangling so that they can use to move up. Judon, the linebacker / DN / hybrid, he's a stud. He wants to get paid. They're going to move on from him. So if they use 28 and him, that's a very appealing package.
It makes sense that they can move up. Then the question is, where do they move up to?
Because they might go to 13 and take that San Francisco pick.
And if they go Jefferson,
because if I'm San Fran and you throw Judon and 28 at me, deal.
Exactly. So there's a lot going on,
because San Fran has a lot of money that they can pay him, because they're such a young team. They have everybody on rookie salaries.
Just make sure you keep it.
Yeah, I got my notifications to wrap up Poor and Schefter, and we got you covered. Don't go anywhere. Sit back on the couch. If you want to call up, talk some trade scenarios, talk some prospects, what will make you upset? The floor is yours. You know the number. I'm not even going to say it. He's Andrew Salchunas. I'm Jamie Lynch. Time at the Fanatic is 6:41.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic. Now, back to our coverage of the 2020 NFL Draft. Live from the Fanatic War Room on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back in, Jamie Lynch, Andrew Salchunas.
What's going on? I'm enjoying this.
We talked about this at the beginning of the last break. Come on, man.
Of course. I'll get it to you in a second.
Ah, jeez.
I'll get it to you in a second, but I will let you know. I want to tell you something. So we're getting more and more stuff coming out, right? So Nick Saban.
I can't wait.
Nick Saban on ESPN just now. I hope teams don't make the same mistake that we made when I was in Miami and we passed on Drew Brees.
He's compared to a Drew Brees several times in terms of his intelligence.
So it was like sort of like a subtle like, hey, help my guy out here. You know, don't miss on Tua. I don't know where he goes. He's a fascinating thing for me. Conversation with Tua. By the way, 6 p.m. hour is brought to you by Family Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey's diamond destination.
Yeah, Tua's going to be, he's definitely one of the things I'm looking for in the first round to see what happens there. There's a lot of late talk about Jordan Love potentially being like a top 15 pick. And if that happens, that's great news for the Eagles because that means a run on quarterbacks will happen. And then your boy, I always want to say, because of Bobby A. Bear, you remember him? You were probably a little too young.
No, I remember him.
Okay, yeah. Bobby A. Bear has ruined Herbert.
Mm-hmm.
I can't not think, hey, Bear. Hey, Bear. So, right. Yeah. So sorry that means that would mean four quarterbacks go probably in the top 15 if Jordan Love. You know, Todd McShay has the Chargers taking Jordan Love as high as number six overall.
I saw that. And I you know.
His problem is accuracy. He's got all the other intangibles. He's quick. He's got a big arm. Apparently his accuracy is terrible, but I really hope, because there's always a run on somebody, really hope the quarterback run happens.
And it's crazy because like Herbert could fall to, I mean, I saw 17 to Dallas.
Yeah.
I saw that yesterday, and I was
Orlovsky was thinking that the Cowboys could draft a quarterback.
Wow. I mean,
and Schefter kind of backed it up because he said the Dak Prescott situation stinks from the head down.
Yep.
He said he doesn't like it at all, and he said with the losses of revenue this year in the NFL, it's going to affect next year's cap, and with that happening, you know, as Jerry Jones is going, oh, man, do I really want to pay, like, because if Patrick Mahomes re-signs before him next year, the quarterback market's going to be reset again, and he'll probably have to pay Dak like $37 million a year.
I mean, could Dak be moved tonight?
I don't think so.
I don't think
I know ESPN put out one of those, like, this is what we would love to see round one, and I don't think
it happens. They can.
I don't know, man. By the way, Burrow is going to go number one, I'm sure.
I love Joe Burrow.
In case you were wondering, Ian Rapoport just tweeted out, the Bengals, who have received interest and inquiries into the number one overall selection, won't trade it and will make the pick, sources say. Not a surprise, but now official. So, obviously, they're going to go Burrow, but so that's not changing.
Yeah, no.
Because there was talk that maybe
I think he's the best prospect I've seen come out since Andrew Luck.
Okay.
And I think, obviously Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson are pretty good on the NFL level. But in terms of pure number one overall prospects, I think Joe Burrow's phenomenal.
Okay.
So I'm excited to watch him. I think he's good enough to actually fix the Bengals. That should tell you a lot right there.
It's a lot.
Yeah. David and Chalfont wants to talk about the NFL draft tonight and taking a wide receiver. What's going on, David?
David.
Yo, Dave.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. What's up, man?
Sorry. I hope everybody's safe. I really think we're in a really good position. I don't think we should be desperate because all these teams know we want a wideout, right?
I think they're desperate. I think they're, like you said, in a good spot because they have options. You know, I hate the nerd word optionality, but they have optionality.
Yeah, I wouldn't be mad if we take a Patrick Queen, get a linebacker. And then
I wouldn't either.
Get a KJ Hamler in the second round because I think this wideout class is so deep that we could plug a few holes, hopefully.
Absolutely. I like KJ Hamler, but there is a drop concern with him. He is one of the highest drop rates. Mm-hmm. I would take him in the second round. If he's there at 53, I'm in. It's not scaring me off of taking him. But, you're right. I just think Jerry Jeudy and CeeDee Lamb are so can't miss that you go and get your guy and you have Carson Wentz with Miles Sanders, Dallas Goedert, and CeeDee Lamb or Jerry Jeudy for the next 4 or 5 years. And I think that's a core that a lot of teams in the NFL would be jealous of.
But would you want to start a 37-year-old Jason Peters? I fear trading away Dylan.
I hear you, and that's why it's something you'd have to think about. I'm just reading between the lines, and I see four or five things that kind of tie this circle together, and it just makes a lot of sense to me, David. That's all.
I hear you. All
right. Yeah, it's gonna be fun tonight, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for checking in.
I think there's a lot of, and I know he's talented, don't get me wrong. I think there's a lot of Penn State bias with the Hamler stuff around here.
That kind of speed is rare, though.
Yeah, it is rare.
That's
it. They call him the human joystick for a reason, right? Like,
dude, I saw him, he tweeted it, and Saquon Barkley was tweeting back and forth with him the other day. He ran a kickoff back from goal line to goal line in 10 seconds.
Wow. That's incredible.
Like, it's rare type
speed.
Yeah,
he's got the speed, but you're right about the...
it's a drop issue. I think he had 17% of his drops last year.
Drop issue, and he's also a guy that struggles when it's like attacking for the ball. I mean,
he's not going to high point a ball.
You're not going 50-50 for KJ Hamler, but there was a lot of stuff where, you know, when Hamler's going after the ball, he struggles to go after and stuff like that.
Tyler actually has a cut from a PSU beat writer talking about KJ Hamler and transitioning to the NFL. Here it is.
There's two plays that didn't show up on the stat sheets this year. He had a 100-yard kickoff return against Michigan that was called back for a penalty that didn't impact the play. Same with an almost 50-yard punt return. I think when you throw those into the equation, you know, he's not going to be your deep threat, but he's going to be a guy in the slot across the middle, but he's going to bring that extra value added on your return game. And if you throw those two returns into the equation, his whole year is different.
So that's Mike Poorman from statecollege.com, who obviously covers Penn State extensively up there. KJ Hamler is certainly intriguing. There's a good chance he might be there at 53. With that type of speed, maybe he's taken a little before then.
There's just so many questions, right? And I go back to what I said during the opening segment, and it's if they do move up for one of these top receivers, what are they giving up? You have your idea about trading Andre Dillard and the 21st pick to move up to 11. You also get the third rounder from the Jets. It makes sense. But if you don't do that, if you don't do the Dillard route, and you have to give up a second-round pick. Well, KJ Hamler is not falling to the third round. That's not going to happen.
No.
So it all comes down, like, I didn't put together in the first round I want this, second round I want this, third round I want this, because I don't know what they have to give up. If they have to give up a second-round pick, everybody I want in the second round is gone. And a guy like KJ Hamler I do have written down. Like, he's, again, the speed. Could you imagine, let's say you do the Dillard route, and you get Judy at pick 11, you still have your second rounder, and you end up going KJ Hamler. Now you have Judy on one side, Hamler's in the slot, right? And DeSean Jackson's on the outside on the other side.
Oh.
Like, that is speed, that is talent.
And then, Miles Sanders, Zach Ertz, and Dallas Goedert.
Exactly. And then
that all of a sudden transforms an offense into something like, whoa.
Right, and also we're talking speed, too, which is what the Kansas City Chiefs won with last year.
I mean, that's the NFL.
Yeah, exactly.
It's, you know, it goes in waves. Sometimes there's defense. Right now it's speed, and the Eagles don't have speed. And a guy like KJ Hamler in the second round would bring that to the team. If you were able to, I think wide receiver is so pressing that I would spend my first two picks on wide receiver. I would address linebacker, offensive tackle, guard, whatever depth you want to get in the third round.
Yeah.
You know, Matt Hennessy as a backup center.
Yeah, he could go round two. He's like a borderline.
Some say three. Yeah.
I'm seeing Lance Zierlein put out his final mock draft. Cesar Ruiz, who's actually local kid, went to
Camden,
New Jersey. He actually has him going first round. And, you know, he's a guy, I just some notes on him. You know, he was third team in 2018. He was second team in All Big Ten in 2019, right? Like, so he's a guy that has a resume.
That's offensive lineman conference.
And the other thing is he played guard when he started at Michigan. And that's the kind of thing I want to look at right now. If you do go center, which I've been saying for a few weeks now, the Eagles desperately need a center because Jason Kelce,
this is
the third year in a row where he said, I consider retirement, but I'm coming back. So you need to find a replacement.
At most, you have 2 years
now. Years ago, in what was it, 2015 or 2016, Isaac Seumalo was drafted as a guard that could eventually become a center. I don't really like Isaac Seumalo. He gets beat up at the guard position. I can't imagine him playing center against a guy like Aaron Donald. Now, Aaron Donald makes a lot of centers look bad.
I mean, play Aaron Donald, once every 3 years?
But I'm just thinking of other big nose tackles. I think Isaac Seumalo is struggling.
I don't think he's as athletic enough. Kelce can make up for it because he's athletic
enough. Whereas Ruiz is a guy that can move up. Matt Hennessy from Temple. I know I'm a Temple guy, but this is no Temple bias.
No, he's good.
They say he may need 1 year to build some strength. Okay, you still have Jason Kelce. So now that's the perfect 1 year to get stronger. You are in the shadows of Jason Kelce, who is an all-pro center who's played 10 years in Philadelphia. You learn a lot that way. Center
is a position where I would look in rounds two, maybe even three. To, you got a lot of third round picks because or fourth round picks because of compensatory picks. Maybe you move up or something. Who knows? You can put together a few picks. I would like to go center early, and I know that's not a sexy pick.
Oh!
I know that's not a sexy pick, but it's something that I would really consider because you have no idea what Jason Kelce would be doing in the 2021 season. You have no idea.
Well, I mean, that's they have a lot of options here because they have... And look, there's going to be things where I want to freak out, but I'll know it's the right thing. Like Patrick Queen at 21 is a perfect example of that. Is that who I want? Not really. Do I acknowledge that he's a phenomenal player and would probably be the best linebacker here since Jeremiah Trotter? Yes.
Yeah.
So it's like, do I want it because it's not sexy or because it's the right thing? Like, it's that thing where I don't want to overreact and be like, oh, that was a waste of a pick.
Right.
No, Patrick Queen's a phenomenal player and will probably make this defense pretty damn formidable. So there's going to be a lot of that tonight. Matt Hennessy, again, if Cesar Ruiz, if they take him, I'm going to be like, ah. But I'm going to know it's a good plan.
And you just gotta go center first round. But
no, not first round. But if he's there in the second, I would consider moving up to get him, possibly. We'll continue talking about that. Ryan in Mayfair is on the line. Want to get his thoughts on the draft. Coming up at 7:45, we'll get the latest from Tim McManus, as it is out there from a couple sources, Derek Gunn included, that the Eagles may be dangling Andre Dillard out there. Manish Mehta from the New York Daily News also tweeted out a vague Andre Dillard to Jets fans tweet earlier that makes you think that maybe Howie's cooking something in the lab. He's Andrew Salchunas. I'm Jamie Lynch. Time at the Fanatic is 6:57.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.